Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Today on the podcast, I want to talk to you about the three stages of parenting that I have gone through. When we adopted our kids, I listened to Focus on the Family a lot at that time, and I'm pretty sure that this is where I first heard this from Dr. Dobson, but I could be wrong. And I believe it was he who said that you should look at parenting as three stages of development or three stages of parenting. So birth to age six is really where you are doing everything for your child. And then 7 to 12, which is the grade school years typically, are where you and your child are doing things together. And then ages 13 to 18 are where you are guiding and supporting your child into adulthood. I am pretty sure he's the one that said that. And I have thought about that every day since. Like, I love knowing the big picture and knowing where I'm going with my parenting. And I take the fact that I'm raising independent future citizens very seriously, which is why I chose Montessori school for my kids, which is very independent learning and teaching children to take care of themselves, their community, and their possessions. When you look at parenting this way, it really helps lower your frustration level in different stages of kids' life and have different goals for you and your kids. So when you think about your kids who are not in all-day school yet, that are 0 to age 6, that is the survival years of parenting, at least for me. The days are long, but the years are short is what they say. And oh, you will wish that you had these days back. No, I don't. I love a cuddly little baby with a bottle of milk and smelling their sweet skin. I love it. But those days of two-year-olds running around, unending, you know, repetitive tasks, laundry, oh, it was exhausting. It was so exhausting. So when I help people who are organizing their homes in this stage, when they have really young kids, I spend the majority of my time saying, you're doing a great job. You're doing a really great job. Like, raising tiny humans is not easy, and they can't help you. Like, some little precocious girls, like around the age of 4, 5, or 6, start to help. They definitely help, and you're definitely molding them, but pretty much you're doing everything by yourself. And the majority of families, once they start having children, have more than one child. So they're not dealing with one child 0 to 6. They're usually dealing with 2, sometimes 3, 4 children. So, and it's not just simple 1 plus 1 equals 2. It's like 1 plus 1 equals 8. It's at this stage, it's a lot more work for the parents than if you're just adding one more. Finally, the other big issue when you have kids 0 to 6 is that everything in their little worlds changes every 3 months. So any idea of planning for the year, you should just put that in a little envelope, lick it, and mail it to Never Never Land. Because you need to look at your calendar, at your life, at what your goals are for your kids from 0 to 6 in 3 month increments. This will give you less guilt, more freedom, breathe a sigh of relief, because everything changes every 3 months. And you know this if you have a baby, because every 3 months they're eating different food, they're wearing different clothes, and that starts to slow down as they get into the preschool years. You're not changing out their clothes every 3 months, it's more every 6 months. But in the preschool years, their development, as far as how much they can tell you and their fine motor and what they're able to help with around the house, that changes every 3 months and what toys they're interested in. So when you think of your child in 3 months instead of a year or instead of day to day, that's when you can really say, okay, I have a 6-month-old and I have a 4-year-old. The 4-year-old needs to learn how to tie their shoes. And the 6-month-old in the next 3 months is going, we're going to try solid foods and I need to change out their clothes. And so you can start to make a little plan for yourself of these are the few things that I need to do during this time with my kids and have an ending goal and say, okay, it's been 3 months and I taught them how to tie their shoes. Okay, now we're going to learn how to ride a bike and put their clothes in the laundry and clean up after toy time. If you have 1 to 3 goals for each of your kids every 3 months, you're going to be able to hit those and you're really going to see that you're making some progress there. It is hard for me to give general organizing advice for this age of parenting because it is so individualized. Every child has their own unique needs, and you as the mom are uniquely equipped to handle your child's needs. And so it's really hard to give blanket advice. And whenever you give blanket advice, some parents feel like, okay, great, I'm doing that, so I'm doing a good job. But more often than not, 99% of the parents are going, oh, shoot, my kid didn't ride their bike at 4, so I'm not doing a good job. Like, they rode it at 4.5, so I'm failing as a mother. I say that from personal experience. Like, anytime I would see any of these kind of lists of what a child should be doing at what age or how my house should be organized, no matter how good I did, I always felt like I wasn't doing enough and I wasn't being enough and I wasn't reaching the right milestones. So if there's anything I can say to you during this stage of life, it would be that you are amazingly awesome. Like, your kids are still alive. You're doing great. Like, it is a lot of work to go from being a single woman to being married to having children to having multiple children to taking care of a house, possibly working outside of the home at the same time, dealing with your own family's expectations of the kind of mother that you will be or how they parented or what they want to do with your kids. And you saying, that's fabulous. This is what I'm doing with my kids. Setting up how you do holidays. Like, there is so much change going on in this first 6 years of your child's life and internally for you. What kind of discipline do you want to have? And this is when you find out that you and your spouse thought you were on the same page with what it would be like raising kids and you aren't. Or you're more laid back than you thought you would be of a mom. And you're letting go of some of those expectations that you had for what a perfect mom would look like. It's also the time when you're doing a lot of new socialization, both getting your kids socialized with other kids, but more for the mom. You're developing a lot of brand new friendships with people who have children your age. And a lot of the people you used to associate with who have not had children yet do not understand this new world that you're in and why it is so consuming. As far as organization goes in these survival years of birth to age 6, you are in charge of all of the organizing for your kids. You cannot really expect that they're going to be able to maintain or set up these systems for you. If you have kids that at the age of 2, 3, 4 can clean up with you, that is amazingly awesome. And I applaud you for that. For the 80% of the other people, you are doing just fine. I set up my house like a preschool. I was a preschool teacher and I did not get my kids to clean up and organize, if that makes you feel better. I was beating my head against a wall and feeling terrible about myself. So if your kids can clean up after you or you don't have a lot of toys and that's easy for you to maintain with your kids, you're a very organized person, that is awesome. If that is not you, I do not want you to feel bad about that. Teaching your kids simple chores, picking out the kind of schools they're going to go to, and establishing your mommy gut is what you're doing during this time. Luckily, most of this happens within your four walls of your house or wherever you live. And a lot of what you're doing as a parent and figuring this out organizationally, socially, emotionally, what your bandwidth is, happens outside of other people's eyes. And so you should take a deep breath and just try again the next day. What is working and what isn't working for you? Honestly, these real years were pretty stressful for me, which is why I don't blog and podcast about them a lot because I really don't want to go back there, number one. And number two, I can give you some solutions, but it's like shoveling snow in a snowstorm. If I gave you a solution that's going to work, it might work for 3 months and then it's not going to work again. I would refer any of you that are in these survival years to go to andreadecker.com and read her blog. She has 3 kids. that are 5 and under. She was a professional organizer. She's been blogging for 5 or 6 years. I've read every single blog post she's written, probably more than one time. I have followed her forever. I love what she has to say. She is very organized. I would say she's more organized than me. And I just love the way she's constantly prioritizing. She works from home, so she understands work-life balance. Her husband is a teacher. And she's very, very open about her struggles about becoming a parent and then becoming a parent of two kids. And I just think if you're in this stage, you would really, really resonate with her, love what she has to say. And I would refer you to her for organizational solutions, because I know that the organizational solutions I would share are, you know, a decade and a half old at this point, and things do change. Then you hit the year where your child, your last child, goes to school all day. And all I could say is the heavens part, angels start singing, there's a big party. It's an amazingly awesome year because you now can start to take back ownership of your home from these little people and all of their big plastic toys. I often tell moms who have their last child going to all-day kindergarten or their first year of first grade here in the United States is when you get full-time, your children off full-time during the day. If it is at all possible to not work that year and reclaim their home, that is the year that you do the 40 weeks, one whole house challenge, and you just are like, great, we're going to like get back to square one. I realize that is becoming more and more difficult as it's becoming more and more necessary for dual-income families. But if at all possible, that is the year to really try to reclaim your home. During grade school years, 7 to 12, these are the years where your family, I mean, for us, they were glorious years. You just get into a nice rhythm. The parents go to work, the kids go to school or are homeschooled, you know, but there's the structure of school, there's the structure of work, there's the structure of the seasons. Sporting events or activities that they're involved in have dates that you can put on a calendar, and there's an expectation of what things are done for those and what items you need, and you can organize that, and everything fits into a calendar and a schedule. I personally think they are the easiest years of parenting. They're busy, but they're easy. And why I say they're easier is because the kids are still pretty much 100% under your control. They have friends, but you say when and what they do with those friends. And they have interests in sports, but you say if they are or are not going to sign up for those sports. You're dictating where they're going to school. There's just a lot that's in the parents' control during those school years. It's also the time where kids are very receptive to what you have to say and what your rules are. And it's a great time for establishing those chores, routines, how your family's going to run, and teaching them the basic niceties of life. This is a time I like to take from when you think of a kid's stuff perspective. In the 0 to 6 year time frame, the kid's stuff is everywhere. It's in your bedroom, it's in the family room, the kitchen, the toy room, which should be a dining room, but you've made it a toy room because who has a dining room table when your kids are that little? The kid's stuff is everywhere. Once they go to school all day, whether that's kindergarten or first grade, this is when you start to reclaim your house for all the people that live in it, not just the little people. So step one is there should be no more toys or any kid-related things in the master bedroom by the time your kids go to school all day. That is also the time when I would say you no longer need a playroom. Now, when they're in kindergarten, first, second grade, if you have a playroom or you've designated the basement as a playroom, that's fine. But by the time they're in third or fourth grade, I would move those toys out of the toy room. That would be my personal thought. In our house, there were toys everywhere. Our kids have never really played very much in the basement. So there were toys in the family room, there were toys in a loft upstairs, and there were toys in their bedrooms. So once they went to school all day, I took the toys out of the family room and moved them upstairs to the loft. That way we had toys in the loft and the kids' rooms. And by the time they were in fifth or sixth grade, all of the loft became a library again. It was no longer a toy room. And all of the kids' items were in their mini apartments. And of course, I redecorated it for that. So during those years, you are phasing the kids out of having their toys all over the house. They are naturally phasing themselves out of playing with toys and you are giving them more and more family responsibilities. This is when you teach them how to clean and organize their room. And part of teaching them how to clean and organize their room between the ages of 7 and 12 is getting them to declutter a lot of the toys and things that you've bought over the years when they were little and they were at home with you all day. And I don't care if that toy only entertains them for 3 minutes. That's long enough for me to go to the bathroom. When they're older, you don't need toys that entertain them for 3 minutes. You need toys that entertain them for 30 minutes to 3 hours and less toys. And kids love to have garage sales. Like in the summer, we would have the kids price their own stuff and put them out at garage sales, and they would hand out the water and they would love to do that. And then we would take the money that they earned from the garage sale and we would buy something bigger, like a trampoline. I remember the year that they did that. They had a lot of fun with that. So the grade school years are great and you're establishing their traditions. The one thing I would say is, or their traditions in how they take care of their stuff in the home. Because my kids have learning disabilities and ADHD and they're okay with me saying that, they know that. You need to, if your children have any kind of educational or medical needs during this time, you need to give them and yourself grace. You have from 7 to 12. They don't have to learn all of these things the day they turn 7. Some of these things they will not learn until they're 12. They might be 13. It's okay. But I do think that as a parent, I have a checklist of things that I want my kids to know before they leave this house. And during that time frame, it was say please and thank you, be kind to others, have friends, learn how to clean your room, put things back where they belong, obey your parents. Those were the things we were working on. Now, once your child turns 13, and that's going to be different for everyone, it's going to be the junior high years through high school. For our family, it really started in high school, so more 14, 15. But that last third of parenting from 13 to 18 is when you don't so much tell your kids what to do, but you more guide and support them in the decisions that they make. They start to decide if they're going to do an after-school activity after high school, and you help make that happen. They start talking about what they'd like to do for a career, where they'd like to go to high school, when they're ready to start driving. And of course, you have a say in all of this, but it's more of a guided decision. Now, I'm going to specifically talk about this with my kids. So I started this second or this third trimester of parenting more when my kids were 14 and 15, although I do think it starts around 13. And in my personal opinion, I will be parenting my kids to 21, 25, 30. Our parenting is going to be a little bit longer. So I've given myself a couple of extra years, for sure to 21. So at the end of high school, my kids will both go to some kind of a community or trade school. And then after they have that degree, if they want to go to a four-year college, then that is an option for them. If they want to get a second two-year degree from a community college or trade school, that will be an option for them. And we will continue to guide them through what will be the best for them for their future. So I have the 4 years of high school plus at least 2 years of community college. So I have 6 years to cover what I want to train my kids up in this guided support time. You know your kids. And Greg and I often talk about what we were like as kids. Some kids are, well, I'm an entrepreneur, obviously. I have big ideas, big goals. So you can imagine what I was like as a teenager. Maybe you should love my mom. So I knew what programs I wanted to be in at school, and I would find a way to get to those if I needed to. If my parents couldn't get there, I would babysit and earn the money to pay for the fast food that I wanted to have. I drove like when I was 16 and one day older. Like I was ready and I had already studied for my driver's license test. My kids need a little bit more support. So I do remember my mom showing me how to use a checkbook, or I think we had in math class, they showed you how to write a check, but that's not in the high schools anymore. So I actually have on my summer list next summer for the kids to open checking accounts, teach them how to write checks. And I'm looking into, and of course I will share it with you, a couple of different softwares that we can use for helping the kids budget their money. I am very active in getting my kids jobs. My daughter just applied for one and we're going to go meet with them and try to interview. And Joey applied last year And so we're going to try to get him that job this spring. And so I'm very involved in filling out the job application, getting ready for the interview, taking them to the interview. I will be the one driving them to the job. I went out and I basically accosted people on the street and got them to let me be their babysitter. And they came and picked me up. Like, my parents were never involved in any of the jobs that I ever had. But for my kids, I need to be more proactively involved. Our children do not drive at the age of 16. They have ADHD and learning disabilities. So we're going to extend that. But Joey is going to start driving here in a couple weeks. He's going to take us in class. And he's very excited. And he's about to turn 17. And I remember when I was driving as a teenager with my dad, that he would start mentioning different things to me. Like, we were driving at night one night, and he said, "Do you see those lights coming at me?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Okay, when you're driving at night and a car is driving towards you, I want you to look down and to the right. And do you see that white line on the road?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, when a car is coming at you at night, you look down to the white line. And then you will not get blinded by those lights and you will stay in your lane." And so I still do that to this day. So I just told Joey that the other day. As I was backing out in a parking lot, I said to the kids, "Okay, you cannot back out too slowly. Get in the car, put your seatbelt on. You know, if you're going to turn the radio on, you turn that on. Check the fuel gauge. All these things you do before you put the car in reverse. Look, you know, we have a backup camera now. So you need to look, like, with your head, turn around. And then also you start backing up and look at the backup mirror. But halfway through, I stop and I look again with my head and then I continue, because backing out is where a lot of accidents happen." So starting to talk about these things out loud to your kids when you're paying bills. This is why I pay this one with a check. This is why we pay this one online. And I view this whole high school, early college years as me not telling my kids what to do, but sharing why we do it this way. And then I'm telling you, 14 to 16 year old kids are amazing to talk to, and they're in the car with you all the time. So my mom used to say she had us prisoners in the car and she could talk to us about whatever she wanted to. And it's so true. Like, because I drive my kids so much, there are so many things I can talk to them about. What do you want to be when you grow up? Where do you want to live? You know, all of those things, and listen to them. Because once they start driving for themselves, the amount of time you will have one-on-one with them will fall significantly. And if you haven't been proactively thinking about what you want to impart to them before they are on their own, it's just much harder. So I'm very, very proactive in what I want my kids to learn and know about being a young adult. And I think that there's just so much going on in the high school years. Like, I cannot believe how fast they are flying by. It feels like the sand is running out of the hourglass and I am running out of time. And I am making mental notes of all of the things that I have been doing while the kids are in high school, the big expenses that I didn't expect, like sophomore years, where you buy the senior class ring that's actually bought sophomore year, and how much do these different dances cost. I'm making a mental list of all of this and writing it down. And eventually, once I get the last one out of college, which is only a few years from now, I will do a podcast and a post about, you know, how to organize those years. For example, this driving, even though I've put it off, when do you get insurance? Do you get insurance before they take the driver's classes, or while they have the temps while they're driving with you? Or do you get the insurance once they actually officially have their driver's license? Do you buy the car so that they're driving in their car and not your car? Well, we can't afford that. They're going to learn to drive in our car. And what if it takes a year to learn to drive? And not a month, you know. So as I'm going through this, I'm making these mental notes because, wow, would it have been awesome if I could have just had a checklist of things to do when your kids are in college or high school and college to teach them, to prepare them for their future. One thing I will tell you that I just learned, since it'll be a while before I make this checklist, is that if your child has an IEP, like our kids do, then you just take the IEP with you when you go to take the written exam. And then the test will be read to your students if that's an accommodation you have on your IEP, which it is an accommodation we have. And I couldn't figure out how I got those accommodations on that test. So that's how I do that. So that will be coming in the future. You know, it's harder to give advice when you're going through the stage, which is why I love to give advice for the 7 to 12 year old stage, because I loved that stage of parenting. And I really had fun organizing that. So hopefully, if you are parenting now, This gives you a big picture mindset framework of what the expectations could be for your kids in each stage of life. From 0 to 6, you're doing it all. You're shoveling snow in a snowstorm. Set really short goals. Yay for you when you achieve them. Don't look at what everybody else is doing. And follow Andrea Decker. If you're in the 7 to 12 year old age frame, then take a deep breath because you may be running everywhere to soccer, but it is really enjoy those years. They are under your control. These kids are under your control. They're within your four walls. You're going to make some great friends on the sidelines at soccer that you'll have for years and years and years. And start to move the kids' toys out of the whole entire house and to start moving them towards the idea of they have this little mini apartment. And then once your child is around the age of 13, your parenting will shift from telling to supporting, especially if you've started creating their own little mini apartment. They will naturally start to take ownership of that if they know how to organize that room. If you're just hearing this now and you have a 17-year-old, then, you know, have them listen to those podcasts, especially if it's a girl, were recorded for girls through 21. I did that on purpose so they can organize their room and empower them to go ahead and sell or give away their things and have less and talk about how that is an apartment and start using that kind of language. And think when you call your kids' bedrooms little apartments, then you start thinking, like I was thinking today, okay, well, if they are little apartments, we're paying heat, rent, water, cable. But the kids need to know we're also paying phone, car, you know, and start talking about those expenses and how much those expenses cost and how thinking about and talking with your partner about how you're going to start moving those expenses from you to the kids and at what time those expenses move and how they move and do they just pay you or do they actually have to take on the whole bill themselves? Will they move into a dorm room? Will they move into an apartment? Will they live at home for a while? How much do those things cost? I'm looking forward to actually taking my kids to look at apartments and see what that kind of a living experience would look like and how much would it cost and talking about that because they need to be educated in those things. For some reason, a lot of that came very naturally to me. A lot of what I'm teaching my kids came naturally to me, but I think it's because I'm a big picture researcher and I think sometimes we assume that our kids know more than they do. Or that they're just going to pick it up somewhere. And I'm telling you, you're allowed to teach them it. And as we move into the college years, I love when the questions come through the Facebook group, but I feel kind of bad because I don't have the answers yet of, you know, what do you do when you have this senior who's going to college, and usually it's more the boys than the girls, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, do they know how to do laundry? Do they know how to go shopping for food? You know, well, we're just going to pack them up and send them off to college. And do they pack themselves or do we pack them? So I'm not quite there yet. So I can't give you all of the advice on those things. But those are things that, you know, at this stage of life, you're thinking about. And this last summer, Abby learned to do laundry and Joey wanted nothing to do with it. Shocker. But it is on the list that he's going to have to learn how to do laundry next summer. And that is a skill that needs to be taught. All right. I hope that these three stages of parenting and how I think about these things really helped you, gave you a bigger picture. I would love any feedback or comments over in the Facebook group about what you think about this. And the show notes for this show are at organize365.com/130. And on the podcast next Wednesday, what am I talking about? Oh my gosh, you guys are going to love this. I'm going to talk about organizing husbands. Can you believe it? We're actually going to tackle husbands. You guys have a great week.